When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast. Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It is that time again. Welcome to Chalk Talk. Your hosts, Taylor Davis and McKenna Kelly, here to break down all things gymnastics. We have a great week of gymnastics to recap for you. The NCAA world is just on fire right now. So much good gymnastics across the landscape of NCAA. So we are going to break down all of that for you. But before we do that, I want to start out. I've done this a couple episodes where I kind of asked McKenna a question and get her insight on her time during the sport, because I think that's a large part of why so many of you listen. So actually earlier this week or last week, an interview came out with Laurie Hernandez, and she was talking about her comeback and how to some people it's, you know, too late or it's unconventional and it's worrisome to gymnastics fans a little bit. And she said that it's her story to tell. It's her story to write and to figure out, you know, how she wants to close her relationship with gymnastics. And she just doesn't feel like it's time yet. She said she took some time away from the sport to find out who she is away from gymnastics and what she loves. And that time just reemphasized to her that she loves doing gymnastics. She loves the sport and she doesn't feel like she's done with it just yet. So it kind of got me thinking that that's a conversation and an internal battle that every gymnast probably has. And McKenna, your story was interesting because you had the opportunity to have another year at LSU after you had been injured, and you opted to graduate with your class and not take that extra year. And so I kind of wanted to hear it from your perspective. Obviously, some people were hoping that you would return, but you announced, you know, on the Today Show, like us normal people announce things in our lives, that you would be concluding your college career and graduating with your class. So I just wanted to hear kind of what that decision was like for you and how you kind of came to terms with the fact that you were done and you were ready to hang it up and you were at peace about that. What all went into it?
Sure. You know, it was definitely not an I want to say it actually kind of was easy in the sense of I didn't feel like I needed another year to give me anything more. I think the sport of gymnastics had given me everything that I could have gotten from it. There wasn't another award. I don't even think a national championship win that would have made me feel complete. I felt very at peace. I felt very whole as a gymnast and as a person too. I felt like it was time to take what I've learned from the sport and go out into the world and go from there. I was just ready to close that chapter. I mean, I'd done the sport for 20 years. I did it with an incredible senior class. I did it with an incredible team. I was ready for a change. I was ready for a new schedule and something new in my life. And now that I'm in that, now I'm rethinking maybe I should have just stayed in it because adulting is hard and it's terrifying. But I am really glad that I did decide to kind of end it there. And as far as Lori, you know, only she can say, and it is interesting to me considering she did have such a good Olympics. You know, what is it that she's after? I think we all can love things. But I don't know if that necessarily means we should continue to, you know, put our energy into that and continue to do that. Sometimes it is best to move on. But, you know, we'll see what comes of this. And I'm happy that she was able to kind of come to terms with it herself and, you know, not let other people's opinions factor that for her. It sounds like she feels really confident about that. And, you know, as a gymnastics fan, I'm going to support that. And I'm happy for her.
Yeah, I agree. Just thought it was an interesting thing because every gymnast has to ultimately have that moment where they opt to be done or it, you know, chooses it for you, if whether it's an injury or something like that. But certainly something that you have to make peace with. So thought it was interesting and wanted to hear your perspective on that. Well, let's go ahead and recap some of the high-flying action from this past weekend, because it certainly was that. And we are going to break a couple of those down for you. But before we do that, I want to tell you guys once again about MyBookie. If you enjoy football and, you know, don't live under a rock, you know what's coming, the Super Bowl. And if you want to make a bet on it, MyBookie is where you want to be. Head over to MyBookie.ag to make your predictions a reality. Whether you're choosing the winner or making a side bet with a friend, MyBookie offers you the most up-to-date odds and a site that makes extra cash easy and fast. You can even visit MyBookie.ag/party to access a printable prop sheet for the big game. That makes it more fun anyway. Football is not your jam, no worries. They've got other things as well, from the NBA to the Premier League. So if you join right now, MyBookie is going to match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. So if you deposit $2,000, you're going to get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use our promo code BLV to activate the offer. Once again, promo code BLV to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Okay, I think we should just start with the big one from this past week, because there are so many words that could be used to describe that meet. And honestly, it's this case every season. So on the SEC side of things, the big one, LSU Florida, it has so much riding on it. And there's so much that goes into it, from the intensity and the competition level and the skill. And this year was no different. Florida ultimately won, but both of these scores are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Florida got a 198-375 and LSU a 197-775.
These scores were absolutely insane. And I was asking a lot of my friends, you know, hey, did you get to watch some meet? Like, did you think that, you know, it was overscored? Or, you know, because sometimes you go to meets, especially high rivalry SEC schools like this, you're going to see overscores, right, especially if the judges are trying to pull for the home team, which is so messed up that you even have to go in thinking about that or worrying about that, especially when it's out of your control. But I was told that, I mean, the performances were top notch. I mean, I'm sure there were some overscores in there, but I mean, we saw a 10-0 from two. Well, I guess Trinity's a sophomore now, but freshman Kaya Johnson from LSU, which honestly, I want to say she's the new Sarah Finnegan. I mean, she is just as equally elegant, also extremely powerful. And Sarah definitely obviously had those elements to her, as well as perfection. And Kaya Johnson seems to bring kind of that same stoic poise in her gymnastics and in her performance. So, I mean, you saw big scores. You saw really big scores. I do think it's still extremely early in the season that both teams are scoring like this. What will, I guess, be able to attest to, you know, how legitimate these scores were is, you know, how they're able to perform after this meet. And is it going to be a consistent score from here on out?
Right. Absolutely. It's about maintaining it. We say it time and time again. I mean, you're working toward April, so peaking too soon could actually become problematic. But sure, I think this was just such a showcase of the talent that's on both of these teams. But it also shows what we expected from Florida, which is a heck of a fight. They came out week one with it. They we're a little shaky against Missouri, but like we recapped last week, there were a lot of other factors, weird weather and all kinds of stuff associated with that one. And also you're on the road and it's one of those where you kind of know you're probably going to come out with the win. The RQS hasn't started yet. So like, don't go full throttle. It actually kind of makes sense. And then LSU, they let it all out. And you see that when you just look at the score. They also tied their highest beam score in history with a 49.675. I mean, the entire lineup was rock solid on Beam. And honestly, I've been impressed with Beam across NCAA gymnastics year. I think many teams right out the gate are just like so solid on Beam. And that's usually the one that you kind of have to work your way up to.
For sure. For sure. I think you're so right. OU, they always show up with a beautiful Beam team. But again, I have touched on this before. I'm actually getting to watch other teams this year. And so I've never seen like a complete lineup or honestly complete meet from OU considering, you know, if I'm usually competing against them or like I'm at another meet while they're competing too. You know what I mean? So for me to be able to watch these lineups just from all across the board has been really, really cool. OU, I finally have been able to see a complete lineup, especially on Beam. And it's stunning. I mean, their artistry is so unique and it's so, different. I don't know. You see very, very sharp, but very elegant, kind of sexy moves. And I think that's, it brings a different element to how they attack the beam. And then Missouri's beam team was amazing. I got a chance to watch them and I was very, very impressed. Obviously we've talked about Helen before. She was a rock star on that event, but their entire beam lineup was very, very impressive. I actually saw on Twitter today, a gymnast from Air Force did a front pike mount onto the beam. And that was really impressive and very, very a cool thing to see, especially from, you know, a program like Air Force where you don't hear a lot about them. And those Division II, Division III gymnastics schools, it's hard to be able to keep up with them. There's not anything streaming and you have to keep up online. So for that to be on the internet and be kind of cycling through social media was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where social media is such a benefit for the sport because we're going to get the opportunity to see things like that that otherwise we would have no clue were happening. Yeah. But yeah, I think that the LSU Florida meet, honestly, I'm always disappointed when it's too early in the season because I'm like, there are still so many aspects of both of these teams that will kind of develop over the course of the season. Some movements of people in lineups, maybe some people work into the all around. So to think that these two teams still haven't put it all together and they're scoring like this is insane. So that one certainly lived up to the hype and I just have full expectation for Florida making a run this year. They just seem to have all the pieces. And I mean, obviously so much of their success is going to be credited to Trinity Thomas. I mean, that girl's technique is just on another level, but everybody needs to remember this team is full of girls who like really want to get Florida back to that national championship that they became so accustomed to having. Amelia Hunley, Rachel Gowie, Alyssa Bauman, like, I just give a ton of credit to the leadership on this team. It's because of them that the underclassmen are able to feel so confident in meets.
Absolutely. I think when you think of those three girls, you do think of, well, first of all, the amount of experience those three bring to the table. They are all three-time. They have all been on the national team together. They've had that experience in the elite world. They've had that experience on an elite stage with a big crowd and an important meet on their shoulders. So bringing that experience into college is so incredible and such an asset to the team. But also their leadership style, just like you were talking about, they are truly a powerhouse of leaders. And I do think it has a lot to do with how they've already set the tone with coming out of the gate so strong. I am a little worried though, you know, being this strong early in the season, could this be a repeat of last season? Could they be peaking too early? Or is it just a high scoring meet? I mean, sometimes that happens. You'll see that on certain meets or against certain opponents. So hopefully, you know, they can keep this consistent wave riding into the postseason.
Right. Absolutely. They will certainly be a team that I keep my eye on. And of course, So is Oklahoma. They had the Metroplex Challenge this past week with Alabama, Georgia, and Denver. Really, really solid competition, all in the top 20. But as expected, Oklahoma got the victory with a 197-525, which to anyone else is like one heck of a score. But to Oklahoma, it's like, eh, whatever.
Very subpar.
Alabama, yeah, right? Alabama and Denver tied for second, I guess, with a 196.575, and then Georgia 196.3. For Oklahoma, this was their third meet in 8 days, and they won all of them. Like, talk about just, like, how do you attest to that? Obviously, to be putting that much on your body to compete in three meets within 8 days, and it's still early in the season. You are still building up your stamina. Like, how are they already in this condition?
I don't know. And I think there will always be a big question mark from the outside looking in. Only Oklahoma knows how tight they run their ship. But right. if you're looking at these scores, like a 197.525, that I think, I mean, those are scores. Kathy Johnson was talking about this on the last podcast we had. You know, she wants us to get back to that day and age where, you know, it is a tight, close competition and the scores should be lower. Maybe I'm wondering, right, and I'm curious how the judging was at that meet, or if Oklahoma was just exhausted and hit a mid 197 because of that. It would be interesting to kind of go back and look at each individual score and see how those hold up. But physically, at a standpoint, that, I mean, I remember we did a couple back-to-back meets. We'd have one on a Friday and then a home meet on a Sunday. And that took a toll on your body, especially if you're doing more than one event. If it's one of the harder on your body events like Flora Vault, that will take a toll on you. So I cannot imagine how those girls are feeling. But from a coaching standpoint, that's when you are able to put your depth to the test and kind of put in alternates or kind of put in other gymnasts, take other gymnasts out to rest them for more, maybe tougher competitions they're going to see soon. So I would imagine that they took that shift in their lineups.
Yeah, even KJ Kindler kind of echoed that sentiment after the meet. She said, you can start to see the fatigue. I mean, we have competed more than anyone in the country up to this point of the season. And I think today we kind of started to see that started weighing on them. Maggie didn't even compete on floor. And I couldn't find anything that made it seem like it was anything injury related or anything. I'm sure it's not. It's just, if you have the opportunity to keep some of your all-arounders preserved, especially one like Maggie, then do it. So it might have been something like that. But this team just has so many weapons that they can utilize. If they need to pull somebody like Maggie, they're okay. A freshman stepped up and I think got a 9.9 or something. And Anastasia Webb was the Big 12 Gymnast of the Week, and she won the all-around, which likely would have gone to Maggie if Maggie had competed in the all-around. That just is what it is. But there are so many stellar athletes on this team for KJ Kindler to kind of work through that it almost just gets to the point, and I was looking at their schedule earlier, it's like, who is going to challenge them before nationals? I really don't know who could.
Right. And I don't know if they ever, I wonder if they do ever feel like, oh, like, guys, we really got to get our heads screwed on straight for this meet. I really, and honestly, it should be this way where they're only thinking about themselves and their own performances. You know, you want to frame up to the competition thinking you are the best and going in, but they truly are the best. I'm curious to think what their, I don't know what their confidence feels like, or what do they think when they get to the national championship? Does it change? Like, do they, I don't know. They are just a phenomenon. And I think everyone in the gym turnout world will continue to wonder how they do what they do.
Yeah, it kind of relates back to what we saw this season in college football. I work in college football, so that's how my brain works. But with Clemson, everyone by the end of the season was like, okay, yes, but they haven't been tested really. So how will they perform in this national championship when it's really a true tough test? And they cracked under the pressure. And I think for Oklahoma, the further they get ahead of everyone else and the easier that these meets seem when it comes to competition wise, if they're winning by one or two whole points, then there isn't a nail biter situation. There isn't someone who has to go hit a 9.875 on floor to clinch a meet. That if they don't have that multiple seasons back to back, at some point something's going to happen. And I don't anticipate it's going to be this season, because Maggie is just a generational athlete, and they have so many girls that are still coming through the works, but at some point it's going to happen. And I think that it's interesting when you look at their schedule, they do have Michigan on there. I think that could be a sneaky matchup, and they have to face Denver a couple times, and Denver, I have a lot of respect for where they are right now. I mean, they tied with Alabama, and Alabama, regardless of their inconsistency, they have good gymnastics out there. So for them to be, you know, competing tightly with some of the best in the country at this point of the season is great. And Maddie Carr and Lindsey Brown, they are in the top four in the all around right now. So when it comes down to individual competitors, Denver could give a run to somebody.
Absolutely. I love to see kind of the dark horse teams that come out of not really nowhere, but they steadily make their climb, and then all of a sudden they're there and they're up in the competition. And that's the nail biting gymnastics that I miss seeing. I think they bring something to their conference that their conference can kind of build around. You know, I think SEC is so dominant, so it is really good to see other conferences like Denver step into the picture.
I agree. Just some other notables around the country, not really in the SEC world. Minnesota's Lexi Ramler, who, McKenna, I know she's caught your eye before. She got a 10 on beam, and the routine has kind of gone everywhere. Her leaps are gorgeous. I mean, this girl has such elegance on beam, and I'm glad to see that she's starting to get rewarded for it. And I think Minnesota is a team that needs to build all off of that momentum.
Yeah, and I think they are. I do think that, you know, it's important to have star athletes like that who kind of set the pace at programs who aren't used to the big, you know, the big meets and seeing the big final stage. Lexi has seen that every year. She has been a national qualifier before, so she. I think she expects that of herself, and I think everyone kind of does, considering she was an elite athlete. But yeah, Lexi Ramler is absolutely stunning. Her style of gymnastics is beautiful. And I think I said this on the last podcast, but she kind of is reminiscent of Maggie to me, I think, in a more graceful way. And I think Maggie's just like edgier. Hmm.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Yeah. And I am always appreciative to see some of those different stars, because if by the end of the season their team doesn't get the opportunity, we could very well see some of these girls qualify individually. And so I like to keep my eye on them. Nebraska's Taylor Houchin is another one. She's second on vault right now. Honestly, I think she's been gypped on scores a couple times so far this season. But both of those girls really strike me as so solid in their skills right now, but also at a point in their career where they are just itching to lead their team to a place they haven't been before. So I have my eye on both of those programs, because I think you have to have those people that are going to step up and say, you know what, just because we haven't done it so far doesn't mean we can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I honestly kind of think of LSU in that situation. We weren't always a dominant program. We weren't always up in the running. You know, we weren't always a name that people would expect to see at the national championship. So it can happen for any team. I think you're exactly right. It takes the right leaders, and it takes the right legacy. It takes the right culture to build off of each year. It's so important that not only the leader or the seniors do their jobs as leaders, but that the freshmen, the sophomore, and the juniors, they are looking at what it's going to take to be led to that point. And then when the graduating class gets out of there and a new class comes in and everyone's shifting, it's important that they keep that in their vision, and they understand that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen just by the snap of your fingers, but it's going to happen by hard work, and they're going to have to keep themselves and their team accountable to that legacy.
Absolutely. Well, some other notable individual performances in the SEC. The SEC Gymnast of the Week was Trinity Thomas. The SEC Specialist of the Week, once again, was Helen Hugh at Missouri. She is just dominating the beam every week. And the SEC Freshman of the Week was Kaia Johnson at LSU. No surprise there. Those three are just going to continue to have the type of season that we've already seen for them. And it's only week four. And then just some other notable results from this past weekend. Kentucky defeated Arkansas with a 196-75. Auburn defeated Missouri with a 196-7. UCLA defeated Stanford 197-575. And Stanford is a program that has made it to nationals in years past. So that's actually an interesting result for that one. And then Utah, I want to talk about Utah for a second, because we have kind of touched on the fact that this is a program that is having to bounce back after losing arguably one of the best to ever come through in Mikayla Skinner. They won this past week against Arizona State 197.050, but I was looking at their results. They started the season with a win over Kentucky with a 196-425. Then they won the best of Utah with a 197, and now they've upped it a little bit. So if anything, what I'm seeing in this is a steady build, which I think mm-hmm. is actually a smarter approach for a program like them. And it also showcases consistency, which I think they're going to need. If you don't have some insane exclamation point that Mikayla Skinner was, that consistency is probably going to be your backbone.
Absolutely. And I love that you point that out about the consistency and the steady climb, because not that, I mean, that doesn't necessarily always have to mean, oh, they're going to peak at the exact right time and, you know, their climb is consistent. It's like anything can happen, but that usually is the trend you look for when it comes to a team wanting to be their best at the right time, which is the postseason national championship conference meet. And like you've said, Utah is one of those teams who always seems to be in the running. They're very good. They're very competitive. Right. And what I love about Utah is they always pack their arenas. I love that. It is so encouraging to see the sport of gymnastics be so supported like that, especially in the state of Utah. I love to see that. I love Utah. They're always really fun to watch. I think they're just a competitive team who always bring it. And I think their gymnastics is very pretty. I like the style that they tend to recruit. I just think mm-hmm. they're a great team, and I'm excited to see how they do this year and if they can keep this consistent climb and improve a little at each meet, because that ultimately is the goal, is to take, you know, the little victories, but also learn from your mistakes and continue that steady climb.
I do think that is worth noting, the crowd that Utah gets. I mean, in the world of college gymnastics, there's even, you know, ESPN specials made about Georgia and Alabama, but Utah's crowd is arguably the best in the country, and that arena is ginormous. And huge. Honestly, they kind of set that precedent for a huge following with college gymnastics. They were really a pioneer in that effort. Yeah. And other programs have just kind of risen and matched that. But Utah was one of the first to do it. So certainly a fun program to follow. And that is also part of the identity of that program. What you mentioned is that like competitive fire. This is always mm-hmm. a spunky, like energetic bunch. And I can imagine that Tom Farden is like actually having to implement for some of them to hold it back a little bit, because they do see him and Megan Morrison, when she was the co-head coach, they would always emphasize that this is a marathon, not a sprint. And you don't want to come out the game too hard, too fast. You risk injury, you risk fatigue too early. They really saw it as a progression throughout the season to work your way to April. And I think these scores reflect that they're having to do that. But I'm sure for the athletes, when you're in an environment like that one and the adrenaline kicks in, I'm sure it's actually kind of difficult for them to kind of reel it back a little bit. But I'm excited to see what they could potentially do the rest of the season. And I want to mention, obviously, going into this season, there was a lot of discussion surrounding the fact that Jordan Weber took the head coaching job at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They are scoring fairly low right now. And I think a few routines have been on the internet. Jessica Yamson, for example, getting some low scores that the gymternet is not happy with. But along with that, this is a program that Jordan is really having to kind of reestablish. No discredit to what Mark Cook built there, but this is a whole new era of gymnastics. Yeah. When you have a face like Jordan Weber taking over the program, it's going to have an entirely new identity, and that happens over time. And so the gymnastics is going to come with that. But what I have noticed a lot, Jordan has really bought into helping establish the culture. I've seen so many videos and pictures of her around campus and being, she's bounced around on like sorority row handing out cookies. Like, she is bought into this and she has a mission that she is trying to accomplish. And I just want everyone to like give her time to do that, because I think if she has the time and resources, this program is going to rise to prominence.
100%. And I love to see Jordan doing what she's doing, because it is so important. That is how you build culture, is you have to establish it outside of your program for the school that you're competing against. I mean, if the girls don't feel supported by their own school, it doesn't make it easy to go out there and compete. If you already know going in, oh, you know, like not that many people are going to show up, like it's kind of a bummer, especially when you're competing against a team that like is going to give them a run for their money. Like they need that extra support. And it's always so encouraging to have that support from your own school. And Jordan just, I think she just gets it. She understands the camaraderie that needs to happen. You know, I think to herself, she probably thinks, you know, maybe these kids are showing up for me, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because when they come, they see Jordan and then they get a taste of her program and what they're doing, they want to be a part of that. They want to see, especially when they come out with a win, which, you know, is not the most consistent thing for them. They're still trying to figure that out, but it's going to be a huge shift and it's going to take time, because you're seeing, I mean, seniors are graduating, right? And then juniors are having to step up. Not only are each class having to get used to a new role, whether they went from freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, junior to senior, but now they have to get used to a new head coach and a new coaching style. And that's going to take some time. But Jordan is all business, it seems like. And I think she is just laser focused. I think she's just putting her head down and showing up to do the work. And I am so excited to see how this Arkansas program grows.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that she has such a unique background in that, obviously, you know, being one of the best gymnasts in the country and her elite training. And obviously, she's going to be able to mold gymnasts in their skills. But also having been on staff at UCLA under Coach Val, someone who really, truly built a culture at a program that has maintained its presence on the national stage. I think what she learned and how that job equipped her as a coach is going to be maybe the X factor at Arkansas, because it's not just going to be the execution of the skills at Arkansas. This program needs backing and they need excitement surrounding gymnastics. And I think that she's going to be able to bring some of what she saw happen at UCLA over to Arkansas. And I'm excited to see that she's already doing that. But I also want these gymnasts to find their voice and use it a little bit more. I think Arkansas is a program that, like you've said, McKenna, at a certain point when you start hearing what you are over and over and over, at least to outside viewers, you start to believe it. So for Arkansas to continually be told that they're the bottom tier or the middle tier of the SEC, you kind of start to just accept that that's your place instead of powering through and creating a new path. And I can remember some girls have come through Arkansas, like Bray was a great example. She was always so vocal on the sideline, jumping around, excited, getting her teammates fired up. Jessica Yamzon is one of their best skill-wise, but she's very quiet. She's very subdued and reserved. Sarah Schaefer is kind of the same way. Someone has to come into that program and be the fire. And it may be one, it may be two, it may be a class, but that has to be a focal point of this team, because Jordan is going to have her hands very full. She's going to be running around that campus like we've already seen her. She's going to be recruiting. She's going to have so many things that she's doing to build that program. There have to be athletes that echo everything that she's doing outside of the gym.
You know, I think it is so important for gymnasts to step up and take big risks, especially in programs like Arkansas or even like Missouri, you know, programs that are on the rise and, you know, they're always there and they're going to show up and they're going to give you some good gymnastics. But I think, you know, there needs to be that leadership role and being vocal like that and taking the time to step up and stand up for the things that you believe in and that your culture believes in. I think, and not in a bad way, but they can't be selfish. You know, they can't think about themselves and their accolades and, you know, well, I want to talk about this. You know, they need to think about the legacy that they're leaving, that the footsteps and the imprints that they're making now is setting up for what their culture's program will look like in years to come. It starts today. And so my advice to gymnasts out there, especially in programs that are up and coming, use your voice, find your voice, be bold about it, be vocal. Don't be afraid to take big risks and get some attention towards your team, obviously in a positive light, right? But it's so important that, you know, we have this platform, any student athlete really, or any athlete, you have a platform for a reason. And it is so important to use that and vocalize that and encourage others around you and really set the tone for what you expect your team and what you want your culture to look like, not only now in the team you're on, but in years to come.
I agree with you. I think the athletes have to take ownership of everything that's happening and not just all look to, in this case, Jordan, to be the magic fix. Like, you guys have to take on a new persona as well to kind of help everything work together and find some newness for this program. So, but I do think it requires patience. And so everyone in the gymnastics world needs to allow them some time and resources to get this thing going. Because I think I've said it time and time again, I think Jordan is the one to do it. Okay, well, as we wrap this thing up, going to close with a question that we got from a listener for our girl McKenna. So Abigail Bowza? I'm not sure. Sorry, girl. Abigail asked, if you didn't go to LSU, where would you have gone? Which I think is a very interesting question. And do you think you would have been as successful as you were at LSU if you had gone somewhere else?
You know, I actually get this question a lot. You'd be surprised. And I don't know why. I don't know like what sparks it. But a lot of people ask me, if I didn't go to LSU, where would I have gone? And the thing is, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I think I ended up at LSU. I think it's exactly where I was supposed to be. As far as like if I'm actually breaking down the teams, like now that I know, you know, kind of the personality of each team, I think I would have fit really well in with Michigan just because one of my dear friends, Olivia Karras, who we've had on the podcast, if you guys haven't listened, go listen. She's awesome. She's such a goofball and we get along so well. We're very similar. And I think we kind of would have been this like powerhouse duo of leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been really, really fun. And I don't think I would have fit in at OU. I think they're very like serious and cutting edge. And like, I'm not serious at all. I'm very, very goofy and like to, you know, cut loose and mess around. And also my leaps suck and theirs don't. So,
noted.
So yeah. And I love the South. And I think it would have been awesome if the University of Texas had a women's gymnastics program. Both my parents went there. So that would have been really cool, but,
yeah.
They don't, unfortunately. So again, I think everyone ends up where they're supposed to be. So sorry, Abby, I didn't really answer your question. LSU just really is my final answer.
No, I think those are good answers. I've always thought if I was a college gymnast, where would I want to go? And I think either LSU or UCLA. Both of those programs are just so fun. The facilities are so sick. Anytime I got to go to Baton Rouge and go in y'all's practice facility, I was like, can I live here? Like it's the Taj Mahal of gymnastics. It's so sick. All right. Well, that does it for us here on Chalk Talk. As always, thank you so much for listening and supporting us as we continue to grow this thing. Be sure and reach out to us. Subscribe if you would like so you don't miss an episode. We will be back next week to break down all the action happening this weekend. We'll get some more great guests for you. So make sure you join us for the ride. For McKenna and myself, everyone have a great week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.